Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to know from our hearts to yours that we are glad that you are here, and we hope that any time that you're able to come out to worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ in spirit and truth, it is our prayer that you do just that. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, it is good to be in the house of the Lord with my people. And I'm so grateful that you all have decided to be here this morning to worship our God in spirit and in truth. As always, I want to encourage you to keep the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ is that we keep our eyes fixed on Him. We have a love and a zeal for God's word at all times. We also are loving towards one another. The same type of love that Christ showed us when he died on the cross, giving of himself, being selfless and not selfish. And lastly, let us all have a mind to work. Have a desire to do and be about God's business for kingdom's sake. And no matter what, through the ups and through the downs, through the triumphs and even through the failures, I want you to know that I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning or electronic devices, please turn to Romans chapter 5, and we'll be looking at verses 3 through 5. There was a shop owner who placed a sign above his door that said, "Puppies for sale." And I am imagining, just like you are, the attraction that this sign always gets. There's no surprise that children are always the first ones to want to come see the puppies. And of course, a little boy saw the sign and approached the owner, and he ran up to him. He says, "How much are you selling the puppies for?" And he said, "They're going between $30 to $50. The little boy pulled out his pocket change and dollars in his wallet, and he said, "Can I please take a look at them? I have $2.37. Shop owner smiled and he whistled, and out of the kennel, right, came Lady, who ran down the aisle of the shop and followed by five teeny balls of fur. And one puppy was lagging behind considerably. And immediately the little boy saw him lagging behind and said, "What's the matter with that little dog?" And the shop owner explained that he was born without a hip socket. He would always limp. It would always be a lame dog. And the little boy became excited. He says, "That is the puppy that I want to buy." And the shop owner said, "No, why do you want to buy a puppy like this? He's not going to last long." He said, "I'll give him to you. You can just have him." And the little boy got quite upset. And he looked the owner right in the face, straight in the face, and he says, "I don't want you to give him to me. That dog is worth every bit as much as any other dog that I would pay full price for. In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $2.37 now and 50 cents a month until I have him paid for." The shop on the counter, you really don't want to buy this dog? You sure you really want to buy this dog? He's never going to be able to run and jump and play with you like the other puppies." And to his surprise, the little boy, he reached down and pulled his pants leg up and revealed that he had a badly twisted, crippled leg. And it was supported by a metal brace. He looked at the shop owner and softly replied, he says, "Well, I don't run well myself, and I believe that this little puppy will need someone who understands." When I think about this, it reminds me of the spiritual handicaps that we all have in our lives. And there is a God who understands. He understands every shortcoming. He understands every time you've fallen short of the mark. He understands the things that you're going through that no one else will ever know. The skeletons in your closet, all of the decisions you've ever made. There is a God that looks high I mean, who sits high and looks low, who understands where you are. And many of you here this morning may be in a dark place. Maybe you feel like there is no hope left. With everything that's going on in the world, with everything that's happening right now in the world, you may feel hopeless. You know, I realized that here recently we talked about the pandemic, right? And we talk about it because it was real and it happened to a lot of people and it was a tragic experience for us all and all the adjustments we had to make. The pandemic. But I want you to think about this. There has been something that's been going on long before COVID came. And it's called a syndemic. It's been in a petri dish. It's been growing bacteria for a long, long time. And we are living in a time where it is taken over. And we feel hopeless. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you can, to find hope in the midst of hopelessness. Finding hope in the midst of hopelessness. Now, the infallible word of God reads in Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Paul says that we can rejoice in our sufferings, in our shortcomings, when we fall short of the mark. And do you know why? Because he says we are a people of hope. So how can we have hope when everything else looks hopeless? I want you to recognize what he says. He says, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We can rejoice in the midst of sufferings because these challenges causes us to do something that quite often we don't do first, and that is to rely on God's presence. See, when things go bad, the first thing we do is rely on everybody else. We put our hope, we put our faith, we put our trust in everything else but the Word of God. We don't put our hope in that. We don't put our faith in it. We don't put our trust in that, because if we did, we would rely on God's presence. So you're asking me, well, what does it really mean to rely on God's presence? Well, rejoicing in suffering does not mean, because when we look at this, we're talking about, you know, rejoicing in suffering. It's not the idea of rejoicing in suffering means that you celebrate when bad news comes. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean, okay, oh, I'm excited that I have cancer. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what it does mean is that one can believe that God is doing a redemptive work. See, when you're in that place where you're in this dark place where you feel like your back is against the wall, there's no more hope, maybe we ought to look at it from a different perspective, that God is about to embark on some redemptive work that needs to be done in us and in our lives. This word redemptive means that God does not want to waste a hurt or disappointment. When you think about it, God doesn't want to waste the fact that you've been let down. God don't want to waste the fact that you feel like that there is no one else that you can depend on. God, he wants you right where you are, because he's going to use that hurt, that hopelessness, that disappointment to do redemptive work in you. He's going to restructure some things in your life. He's going to rebuild some things. He's going to do some handy work inside of you to get you back on the right track. That's why there is hope in hopelessness. See, he's using them to shape you and build us, beloved, into the image of Christ, which is the highest thing that he passes himself to do. That's why we say we want to look and be Christ-like. That there's nothing that pleases him more when we put on the characteristics of Christ. When I think about people who suffer, you can think about the worst situation you've ever been in your life, and I guarantee you there's somebody that's been in worse. Whoever it is that's in here that's been through the worst thing in their lives, I can guarantee you somebody has been through worse. And nothing brings me more to something more to mind to me than the Bible character of Job. Now, I don't know about anybody that's in here today. If you've lost your family, you lost your good name, you lost your wealth, you lost your wife, you lost it all in one walk. Raise your hand. I want to see who that is here today. Yeah. Job went through something. Job went through the worst. And I can guarantee whatever it is that you're going through in your life, you feel like it is the worst. I have no clue on what I am to do. And I'm here to tell you, you need to rely on the presence of God. You need to get to a place in your life where you say, I'm dependent fully on God. I am fully relying on him. Job had everything, but Satan said, I want permission to intrude on Job's good fortune. Life is good for Job. I want to intrude on it. And all of us have been there. When life is good, things are going great. Everybody and everything is firing on all cylinders. And all of a sudden, life happens. Tragedy, you lose your children, your health, your livestock, your crops, your health, even your relationship with your friends, and even your wife. When I think about it, I said, what did Job do? One thing I know he didn't do, he didn't curse God. He didn't turn his back on God and start, you know, saying, oh, Lord, why this happened to me? Why are you punishing me? Why this and why that? Job didn't even do what Satan thought he was going to do. Satan says, surely when you do all this, he going to turn his back on you. He said in chapter beginning with verse 20, as Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head, then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. He said, let me tell you something. I came with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. And whether I have it all and lose it and never had something and gained it all, I will never forget where it came from. Nothing else mattered more to Job than praising God in the midst of his storm. What we do is we point fingers, we like to blame, we like to hang our heads when things don't go according to our plans. But I'm here to tell you, if you are in a place right now in your life and it's dark and it's hard and it's tough, I want you to look at it from the perspective that God is doing some redemptive work in your life. He's working in you to shape you and form you so that you come out on the other side of this thing stronger and closer to him. Job goes on to say, does it please you to oppress me? Because he was struggling with this. It doesn't mean that you're not going to struggle. He struggled with this. He said, does it please you to oppress me, to spurn the work of your hands while you smile in the plans of the wicked? He was struggling with this, but he still was relying on God's presence. He then accepted that trusting God through it all was enough. Me trusting God through all of this stuff that I'm going through is enough. He didn't have to give me the money back. He don't have to rebuild a house if it burns down. I don't have to get the same job when I lost it. I was making all this money. What's enough is me trusting God. My hope, my faith in him is enough. I think it's a lesson that we can all learn from him, that we can trust God in wisdom even when we don't understand. our problem is we always trying to understand something. I just don't understand. I got to understand. How about you just change? Let's start with change. Because people say, well, if I don't understand it, I ain't going to change. But I gotta understand it. You're not going to always understand everything. I heard a story about a Christian couple who had an accident. They lost both of their children. And what I thought about what they said was, and it was hit by a drunk driver. Both of the kids died. Of course, the drunk driver lived, as always. It always seems to be the case. The person that's driving crazy is the person that survives. And that seems to be unfair. But when I thought about their testimony, they said that they were able to trust God and his word even through their grief. More so that they were able to forgive the driver that was responsible for the accident. And it gave them peace in their hearts. And then when I hear this, I was realizing that we may never understand why things happen to us. But I'll tell you this, trusting God helps you move forward in the best way possible. I don't always understand some of the things that I've dealt with, some of the hurts that I've encountered and have endured. I don't always understand it, but I trust God. And I want to be in his presence enough so that I rely on him. So when I go through the suffering, I seek him. You ever thought that when I say there's a redemptive work that's happening in your life, it's because when you go through the most tragic things in your life, and this is what you know and God knows for a fact, you pray like you never prayed before when you're going through something. When your health is tested, when your money is tested, when loved ones are starting to fall by the wayside, whether it's through death or sickness or losing their minds altogether, and everything is, you pray harder than you ever prayed before. You stay down a lot longer than you ever stayed before. See, when things are good, we tend to not pray the same way with the same intensity. But God understands that, hey, when you're going through something, are you gonna come? Because let me tell you something. I've been to a place, because what happens, right, when you've reached the end of all your resources and all you have left is Jesus? Because that's what ends up happening. I tried this person. I reached out to this person. I asked this person to help me out. Can I borrow this? Can you help me in this area? Man, I'm struggling. Can you help me get a job? Who's up with this? And all this is going on, and at no point have one said, you know what, the best resource that I could ever use, the best person I could ever call on, the person for this job, the person that will get me through is Jesus the Christ. I'm depending on God, and I'm depending on my faith. I'm depending on the things that have been that have been set before me, right? And I've reached out to all the resources except Jesus. God uses suffering to make us rely on his presence. And I'm trying to encourage us, because I know that there are some people that are here this morning that feel hopeless. There is no hope. Ain't no change in these people. Ain't no change in my circumstance. Ain't no change in what's going on in my life right now. I am hopeless. But I'm here to encourage you that there is hope in the midst of hopelessness. Over in Psalms 23 and verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He doesn't write this out of fear. God is with him. He relies on God's presence. It brings him strength, and it brings him comfort. We need to remember that, right? It doesn't matter. So let's look at it like this. For there to be a shadow, there has to be a light. Light will always be there to shine on us. And I don't know what valley of the shadow of death is in your life right now, but I know what the light is. And if you're walking in the valley, you're going to need the light. Another psalm, David reveals one of the reasons for his joy. And that's because he understands that he's forgiven. He understands that he's forgiven. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. We can determine God's, let me say this, we can determine God's love based on good or bad circumstances. A lot of us do. We base the love of God based on the circumstances that we put ourselves in. So I want to encourage you this morning to do this for me. The way that you have been thinking has led you to exactly where you are right now in your life. And if you think that thinking the same way that you've been thinking is going to bring about change, you're wrong. The critical mistake that people make is they believe that they can keep thinking the same way they're thinking and change will come about. Change does not come when your mindset does not change. When your mindset changes, then the circumstances begin to change. And a lot of people believe that I can keep the same mindset and things will change. It will not happen. I'm here to tell you. It's only when you change, when your circumstances change, your circle will change, your company will change, your money will change. Your ideals will change. Your language will change. Your love will change. We should not base our love for God based on our circumstances. Because what we ought to be doing is relying on God's provisions. 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, and a thorn was given me in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Paul reveals that the suffering that thorn in his flesh was what kept him from becoming proud. It allowed him to not become conceited. And I think in our current situations, God is saying to us that his grace is sufficient. Whatever you're going through, his grace is sufficient. Even when we feel weak, guess what he's doing? He's making us stronger than we ever have been. Don't you ever think that God doesn't have a plan for your life. Don't think that he is not the great adjuster, that he can't fix what's broken. And let me tell you something. His grace is not like this abstract idea, right? It is the person of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us. And I think that the mess that we're going through, the hopelessness that we feel right now, the very circumstances that God will use, and what you're going through right now to take you to a whole nother level in your life. He says over in Psalms 31 and 1, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me." And last, not only should we rely on God's provisions, but we should rely on God's power. We should rely on God's power. And in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my meekness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon you." So the question this morning is, what is your weakness? What is your weakness this morning? Maybe it is son or daughter that hadn't quite turned out the way you hoped. Maybe it's a job situation gone awry. Maybe it's a medical diagnosis that has scared you. Maybe, like Paul, it is insults and hardship, and it is persecution and being bullied. Whatever it is, Paul says he will boast in those things because when we are weak, the power of Christ rests on us. The greater the enemy comes at you, the greater Jesus should be coming out of you. And maybe you hear voices telling you to just quit and give up. That voice inside your head to say, just let it go. My family ain't going to change. Them folks at church ain't going to change. People at my job, my husband, my wife, my children, my circumstance, it's not going to change. I want you to remember the greater attack against you, the greater Christ is in you. So, but what you have to do is rely on his provision, his presence, and his power. This week, I want you to take a moment, if you can, in your spare time, to write down what you are suffering from, what you are struggling with, and place it in an envelope, and write on the outside of it, God's got this, and he's transforming me. God, you got this, and you are transforming me. Now, when the challenge comes to mind, I want you to remember to rely on Jesus. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, believing so that the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. If you're here this morning and you are struggling with something, you have not relied on God's provision, you have not relied on God's presence, you have not relied on God's power, and you're saying, I fully want to rely on Jesus. I want to give my life over to Christ. I want to be baptized into Christ. You can do so this morning. Don't let anything else stand in the way. Don't let the hopelessness that you feel, the darkness and the challenges that you may be feeling and going through right now, don't let that stop you from having that everlasting and eternal relationship that will bring about hope and peace that surpasses your understanding. But if that is your desire today, you can do so this morning. And if you are a Christian and you have been battling with some things, whatever they may be, battle of the mind, a battle of the tongue, the battle of the flesh. Maybe there's some things going on at your job, in your marriage, whatever that thing may be that has kept you in this place of hopelessness, a place that God can't fix it, or this ain't gonna never change, or this is just my life the way it is. You need to place your faith and your hope in Jesus this morning. You need to reinvest in believing that God's stock will never fall. He will always have your back. He will always have your best interest at heart. And if you're here this morning and it is your desire for Christ's own baptism or come forward because you may have publicly sinned or need the prayers of the church, please come now as together we stand and sing.